The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
Co-host of the Horrible People's Podcast, Whore.
Hey, and apartment 1984, room 300. Did you know there's a whore living there?
Rossi, Janice Rossi.
Oh boy, it's time, huh? Let's just go with the Goodfellas intro. I am only mildly hungover, so this is good.
Why? Were you up late?
Shut the fuck up, yeah. Anyways.
Does that mean you were drunk? No, that means I was drunk yesterday.
Interesting. Wow. Hello and welcome to the NPC Podcast, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of gaming. There are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There are a lot of NPC podcasts out there. I can say it. All right, but not any of them get you madder than a yak in heat. So, yeah. Wow. I'm going to start with the Simpsons quote every time. Anyways, so... I'm your host, Anthony Fuentes, and with me, of course, as always, is Mr. James Brizuela. There you are.
Yo.
And, of course, Alex Cordova.
Mm-hmm. Not hungover yet.
No, yeah, I know. You're working on it. I can fucking tell. So, we'll keep this train going then. Fuck it. We got a bunch of news. So, we have quite the swath here, James. Would you like to kick us off with an update here? The series I'm pretty sure you've enjoyed in the past, right?
Yeah, so Paragon is officially being revived, which is awesome because I was a huge fan of it before. So, it's official. Paragon is back, baby. The fan-favorite MOBA is being revived by newcomer Omida Studios as Predecessor. The game listing has it described as a fast-paced action game combining MOBA and FPS gameplay that puts you in the heart of the fight with strategic choice, third-person controls, and immersive action. It will also include cross-progression and cross-play, with console release dates coming in the near future. So...
cross-play, fuck yeah. Okay.
Hey, what killed Paragon, by the way?
Yeah, so there's a stupid... fucking game called Fortnite, right?
Oh.
That ruined my and Ben's life. Shout out to Ben if you're listening or you're gonna listen to this episode. Me and Ben were like Paragon loyalists. We, like, I don't ever really spend money on games, like, ever, as far as that there's microtransactions. But yeah. I bought a Founders Pack for this game because I was just so enthralled by it and it was so much fun. And basically, as the description reads, it's a third-person MOBA. It's basically like playing Dota or League of Legends, but in third-person mode on console. And it looked beautiful. It was going really well. And they were just starting to figure out how to fine-tune a MOBA. Like, it had a rough start. You know, went through his the groans and moans of being new. Like, the, you know, heroes were unbalanced. You know, the jungle camps were kind of messy. It was a whole thing. But
yeah.
By the time that it started getting good, Fortnite was also exploding. So Epic basically took it out behind the shed and shot it in the face like old Yeller. And it really sucked because it had such promise. But out of nowhere, and what's really funny about this is, like, I remember reading about this redo and I just didn't think of it, like, really didn't think that this was happening. But now it's been officially announced and there's all these, like, beta YouTube videos of, like, professional gamers playing it on YouTube where you can check it out. And it looks really good. They're bringing back a lot of the original characters from the original one. And
okay.
It just basically seems like they're redoing it, but it's called Predecessor instead of Paragon. I don't know if that's because of a rights issue between Epic and whoever Omida Studios is or what have you, but, I mean, it's coming back to PS5, or it's coming back to the PlayStation. It's going to be on PS4 and PS5. So it already looked beautiful on PS4. So I imagine that graphically and performance-wise, it's going to be even better on PS5. So.
I would bet, yeah. It's one of those situations, too, where I'm not into really MOBAs or anything like that, or, you know, hero shooters, whatever it is. Like, it's not my jam. But even I remember the Reddit backlash for Paragon getting taken out. Like, the comment sections were aflame for years, but Fortnite was like this... it still is an unstoppable force. Yeah. So, I mean, if you take any of that fan base, it's done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, Fortnite exploded, like, overnight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Within a year or two before, when it was... wasn't it a different game altogether?
It was more of a building
simulator. It was a horde mode... What the fuck is it called? My kids play it. End the world, save the world. Oh, save the world mode, where it's just literally a horde mode where you build and, like, literally, that's how Fortnite started, and then...
It was a tower defense game, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So, and they slapped that multiplayer in there, and that's when everyone started playing it. But,
yeah.
Actually, I saw that this predecessor was actually in closed beta on Steam, I believe in December. Yeah. So that's where all the gameplay is coming from. You know, I've seen YouTube clips and stuff, and... like you said, it does look exactly... well, not exactly, but it looks like the foundation of that PlayStation 4 gameplay is still there.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I played with James and Ben, and I think we played with the Ramirai too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't a big MOBA person back then, but nowadays with the whole, like you mentioned, you know, the shooter, hero shooter genre type of thing, like Overwatch, Rainbow Six Siege,
mm-hmm.
Those type of games, I believe took from Paragon, mm-hmm. because they kind of saw the blueprint and they, like, you know, evolved it. So it'd be interesting to see how this comes back into the fray, so to speak. So I'm going to keep a lookout for it. Yeah. I hope it's free to play. I don't know if they mentioned if it's free to play again.
I believe that it's going to be. Ben had actually messaged me like a few months ago, and he was like, dude, they're doing Paragon again. I was like, what? Mm. And we just, like, started sharing videos, and I started watching highlights again. I was like, oh my god. But what's interesting too is Paragon was like a much better version of Smite, and Smite is kind of a big deal now. So I'm like, man, like, when this comes back, like, just graphically alone, the style, it was so much better. Because Smite's kind of cartoony and it's kind of whatever.
Yeah.
And Paragon just looks great. So, like I said, I can imagine, like, on PS5, it's gonna be pretty great.
Yeah, let's hope it sees success, honestly. Because, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like a developer puts their heart and soul into this shit.
Yeah.
And the baby just gets taken away. It just, oof. Just shout out back.
It was great. And I think, you know, that was the litmus test. They had Fortnite and then they had Paragon. Mm-hmm. Paragon was going really well, but then Fortnite took off and they're like, all right, well, we don't need Paragon anymore.
No, that's too many resources. Fuck that. Let's go. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, they literally said, I remember the Epic announcement was like, we're dedicating all of our time and effort to Fortnite. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And they're like, Paragon's shutting down. I was like, wow.
It was very
sad, but I mean, basically, that doesn't matter anymore. Now this Omida Studios can focus on it and make it that much better. So I can't wait. I honestly can't wait to play it again.
Yep. Bring the movie crossovers, everything. Just go the whole shebang.
Everything.
Anyways, so next one is, are we getting a Nintendo Cinematic Universe? No? Yes? Well, with the Super Mario Brothers movie absolutely blue-shelling the competition for Nintendo and Illumination, more movies coming is a no-brainer. In any case, Miyamoto has had, you know, reiterated to a Japanese news site that there is, quote, no doubts, end quote, that other Nintendo franchises will make the jump to the big screen. Discuss. Yeah, I'm liking Miyamoto getting more press here. And, like, he knows how to tease people out. He's like, listen, like, come on. Why not?
Well, I mean, without giving spoilers, I mean, there's a post-credit scene that kind of points to be like they're going to make another one.
Oh, absolutely, and, yeah.
I mean, I would say just the moment that the movie crossed the 300 million mark, I was like, they're going to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Ain't it closing in on a billion now?
It passed 900 million today.
It just passed 900 million, and like,
it's still got a bunch of weekends, so it's going to pass a billion.
Three weeks since it's been out. It's going crazy. You know, Jack Black could finally win a freaking Academy Award for Beetlejuice.
All the things, there you go.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, dude, why not? You know what I mean? Like, I know that it's like the Academy Awards is a little bit more political thing, and it's not really up to us fans, but I hope that there's so much pressure on the Academy from fans to make Jack to have Jack Black win that they give Peaches the freaking Academy Award.
It's also a fun song, you know? It doesn't have to be some like rousing score or whatever it is that usually gets these things. Like, oh, it's so sentimental. Like, nah, who cares? It's sentimental in its own little way. Peaches. Oh my gosh.
I hope that they do. Let's just jump in the deep end, dude. Give us a Zelda fucking Lord of the Rings type, no?
I'm torn. Yeah. See, because I actually really think a live action Zelda would be fucking awesome.
No.
But also knowing the way Nintendo's working, how controlled they are with this, they'll probably end up doing it with like DreamWorks. Like the people who did like the new Puss in Boots movie and like the or How to Train Your Dragon, like a studio that's able to do it with that level of prestige and care, but you know, not having to go crazy with the budget.
Do you think that they're gonna stick to that CGI type of graphics and not do live action?
For Zelda?
Well, for any of like their next franchises. Let's say they do Zelda.
Only
let's say
one they do Samus. I think they can break Metroid. Yeah, Metroid would be the one they would break it.
What they could follow the same formula that Sonic did, and they would be fine. You know what I mean? Like, make it kind of the live-action animated hybrid, and then...
Oh, do that with Kirby. Come on, Kirby. Kirby in the U.S.?
Or they do that with Mario and bring him into the real world, like in freaking Odyssey.
Well, there you go. Just saying. Yeah. Okay, yeah. New Donk City was a great, great level, so I'm with you on that one. Just saying.
And like, not to sidetrack too much, but the rumors so far that they've said is that what, like, Seth Rogen's gonna get a Donkey Kong spinoff, they said?
That was one of the earliest rumors,
So that, they got that, and then they got Super Mario's 2, of course, is gonna be coming, which mm-hmm. I'm assuming they're gonna focus on, like you said, the end credit scene. So already right there, that's two movies for them, right? I mean, I don't know if they're gonna stick with the Mario theme, quote unquote, or if they're going to branch off.
From what I saw, the way Miyamoto phrases quote, he's like, Nintendo's, it's like a talent agency. We have so many different stars here.
Yeah.
So that was his analogy, which means to me, he's going to... The team's looking at ways to put their other properties out there. I just don't think it's going to be Illumination. I think they're going to expand. Illumination's probably going to have Mario. Like, that's Mario and Donkey Kong. Also, sense. Charlie Day has been pitching for Luigi's Mansion throughout the entire press tour. Yeah. So, that's a fantastic October release right there.
I have an idea. If you guys like it, run with it.
I got one too. So, you go first, James. You go first. I got one too. Go ahead.
Give me an Illumination Paperboy movie. Boom. Make it like a Goonies style Paperboy movie. Come on, man. That's like one of the best Nintendo games, and that could totally be a movie.
Yeah, the pilot wings right afterwards, so I can just back to back.
I got one. Check this out, okay? Nintendo needs to talk to Universal, okay? Mm-hmm. They need to go up to them. They need to give them one game. One game and one game only, and that game is F-Zero GX.
Oof.
Give me a live action Captain Falcon in the vein of the Fast and Furious franchise, and boom, there you go. Captain Falcon is Dom Toretto and shit, or no?
Oh, dude. With Blood Falcon as his.
The only way that this movie is going to work, and I've already thought of the star who could be Captain Falcon, is John Cena. Let's go.
He's just going to like have the same Peacemaker like style of acting and vernacular. It'd be fucking perfect.
Exactly, but it's going to be Captain Falcon.
They make a fucking F-Zero franchise. When Fast and Furious ends, and then boom, bam, there you go. Nintendo's going to be set for the next fucking 20 years, dude.
No one's talking about Star Fox. Give us some fucking Star Fox. That has one of the most dramatic stories for Nintendo. James McCloud dying, whole fucking shebang, dude.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
There's a lot of potential, so it'd be interesting to see where Nintendo goes, dude.
Yeah.
Then culminate it in Super Smash Bros.
Oh, boom. They're going to find a way, dude. They're going to... It's Nintendo, though. They're going to wait like 20 fucking years, dude, to do it, but they'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I don't know. Well, that's our positive news. So we have a very negative story coming up right now. Please, Cordova.
This is dropped today, right?
This is all today, yeah.
Okay, so Xbox and Activision, their deal has been blocked as hardware sales fall 30%, as well as their stock today as well. I don't know the numbers on that.
Oh, that's a hard drop.
So, citing protections for innovation in cloud gaming, of all things, the UK has blocked the Xbox Activision sale in a big blow to Microsoft. This lands the same day the company announces a 4% drop in game sales and a 30% drop in hardware sales. So I saw, this is interesting because I saw this today, you know, during my morning browsing at work.
And, yeah, on the shitter. I got you.
Yeah, well, you know, clocking in and then kind of spending an hour to half an hour just reading news articles. But yeah, look anyways. At
your cubicle facing the opposite side of the wall over there.
Exactly, right? So it's weird though because people were saying, you know, oh, only a 4% drop in games, but they're not selling Xbox consoles, right? 30%.
Yeah.
And this kind of ties into a news article that's been like a low, slow murmur the past couple months of Microsoft talking about how they need to rethink the Game Pass idea, right? The ideology of launching these brand new spanking games on Game Pass because it's taking away from sales in a way, right?
Yeah.
So I saw that and I'm like, well, the Xbox is like, it's cheaper than the PS5. Mm-hmm. The Xbox Series S is extremely cheaper. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, people aren't buying it. I wonder why. Oh, I know why. Because there's no fucking games for it, dude.
Right.
Yeah, I think the big thing is that I was reading earlier, they hadn't, in all of 22, did not release an official first party game.
Yeah.
They did not release one.
Well, Halo was 2021 or 2022? 2021. Damn, Infinite was 20... Oh, it was 2021.
Yeah, dude, that was fall 2021. They did not... All of 2022, they bought all these studios, and we're just now getting Redfall, and it's, like, not even that hype.
I mean, this is something that we've talked about before. I mean, this is something I'm pretty sure we mentioned before. But yeah, like, where is their first-party exclusives? What do they have besides Halo? Nothing. And, like, they never seem to want to correct that. Like, yeah. Ever.
Well,
like, what's their big one? Starfield? Like, who gives a shit, dude? Like,
no, well, not only that, but that shit's gonna take fucking... It's been announced, like, for years, and it's like...
Right.
Yeah. That's a decade in the making fucking game.
You know right that there. As a Bethesda game, that shit's gonna launch bug the fuck out, dude.
And they're trying to buy Activision. Like, really, why? Because of Call of Duty? Like, that's gonna be your big thing?
Yeah. Nobody...
Like, you can play Call of Duty everywhere else, so what does it matter? Like, why are they not doing what PlayStation did and buying up more of the studios that do indie games that are, like, way cool, and they're like, cool, now we can dump a bunch of money more into you, and you can make better first-party exclusives or whatever. But they're not doing that. They're like, let's go buy freaking Activision of all things, and then we're going to keep failing, and then we're going to keep trying to do it. And again, where's the games?
Yeah.
Stop focusing on the wrong shit.
Where are the games? Give us the games, goddammit.
It's like, you know, back, think about the 360 days, dude. We had Halo, we had Gears of War.
Yep.
Yeah, so much. Fable.
Fable was fucking awesome.
There was a couple other ones that I'm you know, having a hard time
remembering. Well, they had the Rare games too, but even though. Yeah, like,
Rare. But it's like, I'm going to be honest, the 360, the Series X that I have and the Series S, you know, you want to know the games I play the most on that is actually their immense library of 360 and Xbox One games. And,
oh, yeah.
Dude, and that's the thing that I feel like they really need to focus on that they have over Sony, mm-hmm. because right now, there is a select handful of games that I've bought on my PlayStation 3, my PlayStation 4 that I can play on my PS5, right?
Yeah.
But Xbox has them beaten that.
They do?
Games? Yeah, games that I've bought on my 360, I can literally play upscaled and all that shit, like, you know, 60 FPS for free, and all I have to do is re-download them on my Xbox.
Red Dead Redemption looks amazing on the X Series X. Yeah, it looks fantastic.
And I feel like that's... In a way, that could be a selling point to people, you know? Because some of those games are really hard to find now.
I mean, they're talking about the Xbox Game Pass and how to, like, change it to make sure that people are going to buy the games. Instead of giving these big games to everybody just straight out, why not give everybody, like, a two-week pass to play it? So then that way you get... It's basically, like, a demo that you're renting and make it, like, cross-progression or whatever. Or, I mean... You know, make sure that your save file still matters when you buy the game. Mm-hmm. Just do that. Give people, like, a tester for it. Whereas, like, I mean, people are going to... They'll probably be like, yeah, lower the amount that they charge for the Game Pass a little bit. And go, cool, now we're going to give you time demos for, like, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it is. So that we go, okay, cool, well, I tried this game I really like on my Xbox. Now I'm going to go buy it. So, I mean, there's a bunch of things they can alter to make sure that people are going to go buy. But, like, when you bank on Halo and it fails miserably and then you have nothing else, like, you know, of course you're going to get screwed over in console sales.
Oh, yeah. And I'll touch on that later because it's another reason why Microsoft's kind of pissing me off right now. But also, again, it's weird. And also relying too heavily on third parties. Like, yeah. Dude, if you can play the same game on both consoles to very, very similar, almost equal quality, why not have the one with more exclusives that, like, people talk about? People don't talk about Xbox exclusives. No. They're just not in the conversation.
Yeah, right. And that ties back to Sony killing it, which we'll touch on a little later on the rumor mill. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, Sony, off the top of my head, we got God of War, we got Spider-Man, we got Horizon, fucking Bloodborne.
Yeah, even Days Gone. If Xbox had Days Gone, you know how much they promote that shit?
Yeah, The Last of Us. I know it just barely jumped to PC and all that, but, you know, Ghost of Tsushima and all that. Mm-hmm. And PlayStation has been beating Microsoft in the exclusivity field since basically Xbox One. You know, 360 had them, some games, you know, but I feel like PS4 and Xbox One is when Microsoft kind of rested on their laurels, and they should have fucking went full forward, you know. Imagine if Sekiro was Xbox exclusive, like, that could have been their Bloodborne in a way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they were making a deal with Activision, which I get and all that, but I don't know, I don't think personally an exclusive Call of Duty game would sell in Xbox. I really don't think that would happen nowadays.
I think it would just make a lot of people mad.
Yeah,
it'll be a kind of decision that would make people look for a Call of Duty alternative.
Exactly.
It would hurt both brands, honestly. Yeah. So yeah, Microsoft, don't be holding our shit hostage. Just actually maybe create some shit on your own. That'd be a good approach. Mm-hmm. You've done it before. You've even done it recently. And again, I'm gonna talk about it in my gaming thing later on. But like, come on. You can do it. Just promote. Learn how to promote this shit and give people what they want. That's it. All right, I'm done. Pissing me off. Anyways, James, please.
Oh, so this bit of news that actually just came out. Diablo 4 is officially killing the single-player campaign. And it doesn't sound as bad as I'm making it. Basically, what they're doing is Blizzard has announced that players will be allowed to skip the campaign in Diablo 4 with the push of a button. Instead of having to trudge through mindless hordes until getting to the meat and potatoes of the dungeons and rifts that you want to play, players can simply skip to those points in the new adventure mode. However, the single-player campaign must be beaten at least once for this awesome function to be enabled. Basically, if you've ever played any Diablo game, Diablo 3, Diablo 2, whatever, Diablo, you have to run through the entire campaign until you get to a boss that you want to fight over and over for drops. But now, Blizzard has learned their lesson, and Diablo 4 is going to allow us to skip all of that, and you're going to be able to basically warp to those bosses and just go to town on them. It's good news for, like, the endgame gear, which takes a lot to, you know, get sometimes, which is, like, most RPGs, MMOs, what have you. But the problem that Diablo 2 faced and Diablo 3 faced is, like, you literally have to play through that campaign part to get to that boss that you want to get to, but not anymore. And they're making it easy by just pressing a button. They announced that you can skip it at the beginning of the character screen, and you can also skip it while you're in the campaign itself. Ooh. So, yeah.
Shit. All right, they know what people want.
I've been hearing good things about the Diablo 4 beta that people were playing. I haven't really heard any bad, super negative things about it. But I've only really gotten to the meat and potatoes of Diablo 3. I was playing Diablo 2 with you guys, but I kind of fell off on that.
Same.
But yeah, so Diablo 3, I mean, when it first launched, it was horrible, right? I mean, I think you played it, James, and all that. But it took them like a year, maybe 6 months to a year, to actually fix it with some old school type of updates. And I'm not going to lie, when I played it on my Switch, it was very addicting. But I'm not going to lie that when I actually beat the campaign, I was like, oh man, there's even more game? Like, fuck, I need to take a break. Yeah. Like, you know, that's what the riffs and shit that, you know, James is talking about right there. So just playing the campaign was a lot for me personally. And again, I was playing it solo. I'm sure it's a lot more fun with friends and all that. But from what I've read, just from, you know, gaming people online, seeing what they're saying about 4, there was actually some people that were actually like, man, I really wish that beta wasn't timed and I want to go back and play it. So, that, I mean, you know, for your slash and hack looters, this might be something to look out for because it sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the videos alone, they've been doing like the class highlights, and I've been playing a druid for a long time, and
many decades.
Yes, many decades, and like the druid looks awesome, the barbarian looks awesome, necromancer looks awesome, like all the classic classes that they've had for many years, they're coming back, and they all have like a new way of leveling up and skill trees and all that, and it looks really good. It basically looks like how everybody, the reason that everybody loved 2 mixed with like the better quality of 3, mm-hmm. but that's what Diablo 4 is going to be, and they're just adding a lot of, you know, quality of life improvements like this, being able to skip the campaign, which, you know, exactly like Alex said, it's a, like, the campaigns usually take a while for you to get through in general.
Yeah.
But to be able to, like, end the campaign and then go, cool, like, I want to go fight that one boss again, you can just go immediately do that. Because these, Diablo lives and dies on their end game content and being able to go and get like the rune drop so you can create your armor sets, and like there's so much going on after that you kind of just want to get to the campaign as fast as possible, mm-hmm. and be able to reap the rewards of the end game stuff, and now it just seems like you're going to be able to do all that stuff easier, which is great. It's yeah. probably going, instead of having to be like, damn, we got to go through Act 3 again, we can just be like, alright cool, like we're jumping in the game, let's go kill whatever bosses in Act 3 together. And yeah. so yeah,
I think that's what happens when your gameplay has a very good feedback loop. Like, that's why Mercenaries is so good. It's like, yeah, okay, I can play the whole thing, but also if I want to just kill the fuck out of some people and just do my own thing on its own. Like, that, just the fact that the loop itself and what you get out of it, I think, is awesome and addicting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why not? Why not? They know their bread and butter at this point.
I mean, they relaunched Diablo 2 and it went crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I almost bought it on the Switch. It was like $13. Oh, because it's just from the hype.
Yeah, I have it and I tried to play it again like I did before, but I don't have that kind of time anymore because I'm not 12 years old sitting at home doing jack shit. So, you know what I mean?
Well, I was going to say that, you know, Diablo 2 is the classic, right? That's the bar that was set. However, I will give props to Diablo 3 as in, like I said earlier, after they fixed it, quote unquote, it was really very intuitive, especially on a console.
Yeah.
You know, I played Diablo 3 from beginning to end on the Switch when I got it on sale, and I was like, god damn, why couldn't this have been the game from the get-go? Because me and James got that on the PS3 when it first launched, like, you know, however many years ago. We bought the launch, you know, edition and whatever, and we were in it, and then I'm like, we were both like, fuck, this sucks. Like, no, but yeah, like I said, once I restarted on the Switch and gave it another try, like, all those quality of life improvements, man, like, when I went from 3 to 2, there was some parts of me that was like, fuck, I really wish they would have implemented this from 3 into number 2, the resurrection. Mm-hmm. More specifically, the loot. You know, I get it. The purest side of us is like, you know, that RE4 type of inventory where you have to pick and choose what type of loot you want. But, dude, in 3, you can literally pick up everything, just go back to town in one go, sell it all, get that gold to buy something else you want. So, I'm from what I've seen, the number 4, Diablo 4 previews, they're kind of mixing and matching 2 and 3 together. So,
yeah,
hopefully it comes out good. I mean, I'm gonna keep my eye on it.
You're making me want to pick up 3 when it's on sale on the Switch.
I mean,
you should. It's not bad.
I haven't played it like recently with all the fixes. Like again, like Alex said, we played it and I ran through the campaign, but that was kind of it. There was really not a lot going on after the fact.
Yeah,
this was like when it first came out, so I was like, okay, that was kind of cool, but it didn't have that same like grindability and endgame content that 2 originally had.
Yeah,
so. I mean, obviously, they added that stuff way later, and it's kind of the same thing that Destiny did. Like, you run through everything, you get to a raid, you do the raid, and then it's like, okay, now what?
Mm-hmm.
But I think because of all the trial and error with Blizzard and Diablo, that they finally figured out what really works and what people are going to keep coming back for, and they're already showcasing that with their previews for Diablo 4.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and again, like, just adding this little quality of life update, just be like, yeah, you can just skip the campaign. That's just listening to the community and going, okay, yeah, we're gonna do what you guys asked and give you guys the best version of Diablo that we've ever made. So I'm excited.
Yeah, so same here. I'm pretty interested in it, despite not being a Diablo player. Like, this conversation's kind of getting me going a little bit. So we'll see. this is fun.
I mean, if everybody gets it, and you know, and they also learn from the mistakes of the relaunch of Diablo 2, and there's crossplay. crossplay, then it'll be great.
Okay, yeah, let's put that on the list. Let's hope there's fucking crossplay then, shit. So, alright, well, the next one, the last thing in our news bit, the Tears of the Kingdom just dropped a series of previews that are actually starting a little bit of debate and some speculation. So, of course, previews for Nintendo's biggest game have now been published, and new details are being unearthed despite some really heavy restrictions from Nintendo. Journalists don't care. So, a new ability called Auto Build will now actually allow players to save their previous creations. So, all those people who just want to play games and not build, just build something once, and then you'll just get it later on. You'll be fine. So, there's that. And also, there's one item that got leaked from IGN Japan, actually, that it alludes to some major story spoilers. I'm not going to detail it here. I hate that I caught it, but it is a pretty big spoiler. So I'm like, oh, fuck. All right. Well, but with that, unfortunately, it looks like the performance hiccups that plagued its predecessor, as we talked about last week, they might be back. So they might be back. Some players are saying it's fine, but others are saying it's definitely still apparent in at least the build they played, which is most likely the one released in, like, less than a month. So, yeah. Again, it's fine. I think it'll be okay. But they said it still runs better than Breath of the Wild. So at least it is that. But I will admit there's been a couple previews I saw because I was, you know, man, I fucking love Zelda. I was watching all these previews in the morning. Yeah, there was a couple where I was like, oof. Ooh, that's a little choppy.
I didn't watch the preview videos that people have posted, but I've been reading, you know, the little tidbits that people have been posting. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because there was a guy that I follow on Twitter that was saying that, you know, oh, spoiler alert, guys, there are dungeons are back, right? Which we had shrines in Breath of the Wild, but mm-hmm. I guess they were saying that, you know, maybe it's going to be a more traditional Zelda, because this guy was saying as he was playing, mm-hmm. he figured out like a puzzle in the overworld, and then it opened up a door, right? And when he went to the door, the representative was like, please do not go in there yet.
Yes.
That fucking made me laugh that Nintendo's just like, so like, yeah, we'll give you the game to play, but don't go in there.
Yeah. You can't have you reporting on this shit. So, I mean, which you did anyways.
Yeah.
It would make sense that they're going back to the traditional, like, dungeon style of it, too, because of the sheer size of how big this map is going to presumably be. I mean, yeah, the shrines were everywhere in Breath of the Wild, but now that you have Hyrule plus the sky, plus whatever else is going on.
The underground. There's definitely an underground area.
Right. There's probably going to be too many shrines. So they're like, all right, well, let's shrink it down a little bit and give dungeons in certain areas, which I think is going to be better anyway. Shrines are cool, but some of them are fucking annoying. So you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That and, like, I think it's a good way to distinguish it from Breath of the Wild. Give us, like, a good hybrid of both some of the best stuff Zelda has to offer. And then considering that, like, this started off as an attempt at DLC that got so big, they're like, fuck it, we need to make this whole game. It kind of tells me that it was going to be like a story add-on kind of thing initially, but they got just too goddamn ambitious, and at this point it just became its own thing. But yeah, from what I've heard, the speculation is, like, this map is huge. There's apparently a lot of differences in the overworld from Breath of the Wild itself, and they know people know that so well, which is why they made some of the powers like Ascend and all that just easier to climb and just get that shit over with. Like, you already climbed a bunch in Breath of the Wild. I think they just taken that part of the equation out and giving you a whole new set of tools to play with. But I'm gonna build the fuck out of a canoe. That's happening.
So wait, this auto build, is it only gonna be things that you make, or are they gonna make us are they gonna give us the easy mode and say, like, here's a pre-made thing that you can just make super simple in a way, right?
I'm sure it's gonna be like, once you figured out two or three pieces, it's gonna snap together. Mm-hmm. So I doubt it. I mean, it's a freaking Zelda game, they're not gonna make it too hard for people to figure out.
Yeah. True. I don't know,
but regardless,
I hope they do some sort of community thing where we can like download people's creations.
Yeah. Because
I know there's going to be people that are going to be creating some crazy shit, and I want all of that.
Dude, I was going to say, there's going to be guides for fucking making a big ass mech just to walk around and all that
I hope that happens.
Absolutely. And this,
So Fuen, about this performance hiccups that you mentioned, so you're telling me that they capped it at 30 FPS, but there's still performance issues, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's a big game. It's a big game, okay? Wow. It's a big game.
Oh, boy.
It's fine.
We'll get into it a little later, dude. We'll get into it later. But wow, we'll see.
You know, that might be fixed, quote unquote, with the leaky rumor mill that I added that Fwen's gonna read. But we'll see.
Okay. All right.
I did see a video of somebody that made the trailer 60 FPS versus 30 or whatever they found it. You know, mm-hmm. whatever it was, and I was like, all right. I mean, that's cool. So, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll get into it later, dude. I got some things to say, but I don't want to sidetrack us right now.
All right. So. We got it. It's good, but that's the news. That is the news. Fine. It's leaky rumor mill time. We got some unconfirmed but kind of confirmed stuff coming. So,
Cordova,
what you got?
Okay. So, big developer Bungie. Are they moving on from the Destiny franchise finally? Question mark? I'm Ron Burgundy.
Whoa! That was so loud.
Sorry.
From up top.
Okay.
Do that again.
Okay. Oh man. So recently, some job listings have surfaced online for Bungie, which could give some insight into its next project. The game, codenamed Matter, is rumored to be multi-platform. However, the job listing is asking for experienced talent relating to the PlayStation 5 and third-person gameplay. Bungie's only confirmed project right now is the conclusion to the Destiny saga, which is called The Final Shape. Hmm. But they are also rumored for an unannounced PvP game, which will be using the Unreal Engine. So, as you guys know, I'm kind of still... I got back into Destiny at the end of last year, mm-hmm. after taking like a fucking 2-3 year break. I don't even know. But it's rough. It's rough right now. The game engine that they're using is... I think it released in 2017, maybe?
It's a little antiquated.
Yeah, so I believe that's when it first released, right? So now we're in 2023. That's 6 years later.
Damn.
The game engine that the foundation is built on, I'm not gonna lie, every time they release an update, something breaks. You know, the community is very, and this is kind of like a two-parter, because I was gonna put on here as well that, you know, people have been asking for a Destiny 3 because the either game engine or the servers it's built on is just so fucking flimsy right now.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that Destiny 3 was trending, actually.
Yeah, recently, actually, this week. So, mm-hmm. the thing is that, I mean, it's 6-year-old game engine, and what game do you know right now that has been out for 6 years that is, like, stable? Right? The only one that I think can come close is Rainbow Six Siege, which is competitive multiplayer.
Yeah, or Breath of the Wild. Or Breath of the Wild, just saying. Yeah. 6 years.
well, that's the thing, though. This Breath of the Wild is a single offline... Yeah, you know, you can play it offline. You download a patch, right?
Yeah.
Destiny 2 right now is, like, always evolving. They just released a huge DLC, which expanded the story, and it's, like, it expanded it, but it also broke a lot of things. Yeah. So, I personally think that Bungie is coming to a head with this final DLC, where they're gonna have to make a big decision about if they're gonna move on. And from what I've seen on that job listing, is it may be a third person shooter or something, which would kind of be cool. But I don't think their next project is gonna be Destiny related, because you know, this game, Destiny as a whole, has been around since 2014, 2015.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, they did two. And they've been doing two for the past 6-7 years. So I think it's about time they're going to move on to something else.
Well, that and, like, you say PvP is their next game. Like, dude, these guys did Halo 1 through Reach. They can do PvP like a motherfucker. Like, yeah. if they give it back to them, let them focus on that. Bungie was the best at that shit.
Yeah, so, and that also ties back to Destiny in a way, to where people like the PvP, and I honestly, you know, it was funny, me and Carlos were playing it before I jumped on here, and it's like, the PvP is fun. Mm-hmm. However, the PvP mixing with PvE is very, very hard to pull off, because a gun that is good in PvE against the, you know, the computer and AI, that can be broken against another human player, right?
Oh, there's different metas. Absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's the thing that people have been arguing about for years with Destiny is like, just give us a separate Destiny PvP away from the PvE, right? But Bungie just doesn't want to do that. They want to keep it all together, which, you know, ambition, that's fine, but it's very, very hard to balance something like that. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see what they're going to decide on.
Yeah. What do you think, James?
Xbox can go to hell. I don't know.
Lisa, finish my sentence for me.
I mean, I don't know. Well, you know, we'll see what happens. To kind of talk about what we did earlier, as far as having a game that can, you know, make you want to buy a console. Destiny made me buy a PS4. So, you know, maybe Bungie could come up with a game that's going to be able to sell Xboxes more. You know. Make it, I don't know, simple, make it awesome. PvP that they, I mean, I played Xbox for years because their online community was vastly better. But now they're just getting their ass kicked by every other thing, so.
Yeah, you know, everybody's got a good online community now.
How about except Nintendo, dude. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Fun.
We'll do a circuit later. It's all good, baby.
You got to download a separate app on your phone to be able to talk to people.
I'm just saying. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm, you know, Bungie's, I don't hate Bungie. Bungie's made some good games, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. Again, it's definitely a wait-and-see situation with these guys, for sure. But I want them to nail PvP. Like, I think that would be fun. If they can do it the way Bungie, we know they can do it. But, yeah. So, we got another one here. Mr. James, what's up? What's happening with Sony here?
Don't tell me what to do.
fuck off.
So, there's a rumored PlayStation Showcase coming up. Numerous gaming insiders are buzzing that a PlayStation Showcase is coming in hot next month, May 2023, which will be when this episode comes out?
This will be the...
First week, yeah.
I'm Ron Burgundy. Anyway, the last full-fledged showcase was in 2021, where Sony showed off Gran Turismo 7, God of War Ragnarok, and Knights of the Old Republic remake. The 2023 version is rumored to give first looks at Mortal Kombat 12, which we discussed in our last episode, The Last of Us Factions, and of course, Spider-Man 2. Considering that E3 is now dead, the showcase is probably going to be pretty extensive, and their showcases have been extensive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, actually, instead of just giving us Spider-Man 2, which I'm sure they will because that's supposed to come out this year, later this year, how about throwing Wolverine in the mix? How about that?
Ooh. That, and I feel like because E3's gone, companies are not going to do everything in June. Everything's going to get staggered. So I think we're going to have more summer of games announcements kind of things happening. And Sony to kick it off, this is a pretty bold fucking move right there, actually. I hope, and I know this follows the trend of things Sony have been priority in announcing, give us a little more Resident Evil stuff. They always gets announced at a Sony conference. I kind of want to see if they're going to deal with something, you know, with Revelations or any other number.
Code Veronica, dude. We need a Code Veronica remake.
We'll probably get the DLC for 4, actually.
I'm going to stop both of you already because, like I said last time, enough of that shit. Just give us 9, all right?
They'll probably just do 9 for their January presentation, I would imagine.
I think they would save Resident Evil 9 for their own presentation, to be honest. Like
Capcom?
I think a PlayStation Showcase is going to be either DLC for 4 in whatever form it's going to be, separate ways or whatever.
Separate ways, yeah.
Yeah. Or an announcement of a remake for Code Veronica. I think 5 is way too early to be announcing a remake, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, like, they kind of surprised everybody with 8, so how about just surprise them with 9? And they already announced that it was going to be a trilogy, and it's going to end that whole thing. And so, you know, just come on, just give me the title.
You were running hot after that DLC. Look at you.
Look. I love 7 and 8, so... Mm-hmm. Just us convincing Leo to play 8 makes me like for number 9. I'm like, I want the title.
I want him to Twitch stream it.
That's what they did last time. They just gave us Resident Evil 8 Village, and I was like, hell yeah! And
then, that was probably That was probably announced at a PlayStation.
It was.
Right?
It was. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Just
yeah.
give me the
So
title
was the 2 mine. Remake and the 4 remake, where they were yeah. all announced at PlayStation events. So yeah.
All I'm saying is give us the title and let us know that it's well underway, or it's underway. Doesn't have to be well underway. I'm fine waiting a couple years, but give me the title and let me hold on to that hope for 2 years.
Just no more PSVR. Just no more PSVR. It's fine.
I feel like they're gonna push it somehow, yeah, some way.
It's gonna. Yeah, I don't think it's taking as much space, but it is gonna be part of the presentation.
Yeah, sure. I'm interested to see if they're gonna. I mean, if I'm a bet man, I would bet on the multiplayer Last of Us being announced before number 3. But you know, with the success of the HBO show, they're gonna have to announce something related to the Last of Us. Whether that be the factions multiplayer, or whether that be number 3, that it's the official next Naughty Dog game in development, you know? I don't know, but yeah, that definitely needs to be a trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and no. But I don't know. I mean, number 2, the way it ends is, like, fucking phenomenal for me. So I'm cool with if they don't, but I also want more as a fan, so yeah.
I feel like with The Last of Us, it might be a once in a generation thing. So I'm pretty sure, I don't know why, but I sense whatever the next Sony console is, they're maybe, probably going to slap you up with a many years later, like third game.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm the outlier on this in this situation, but I personally think that number 2 is better than number 1. So I sure want to see that story keep going.
You're about to piss off our entire right wing fan base right there. Look at that.
Oh my god.
Yeah, dude, what's up? Dude, the lesbian takes charge. Suck.
Yeah.
All we need is some fucking Bud Light in that goddamn ass. I'll tell you what, boy.
Fucking woke Zwella over there.
Right, dude. I'm an ally. So.
That's great. Okay, well, and then with that, the last in our leaky rumor mill, which I didn't see the story at all, so thanks for fucking... Oh, wait, I guess that's right. Nintendo is returning to Gamescom, most likely. So, Nintendo returned to Gamescom for the first time since 2012. That's a long fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Gamescom 2023 takes place in Germany from August 23rd to the 27th. This could mean we will finally see the rumored next generation Nintendo system, which honestly the timing kind of matches. It kind of matches with the leaks and everything else. Gamescom though, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, like in that Tears of the Kingdom is gonna come out, and the performance issues with it or whatever, it would kind of be the perfect time for them to be like, all right, well, guess what? We're at Gamescom and we're announcing the next generation Nintendo system that's going to come out this holiday season.
They yeah.
totally do that. It would work, and then Tears of the Kingdom would be the complete seller for that new Nintendo system.
Well, that and... Okay, so to me, I know Pokemon also leaked a performance patch in one of the 4chan things we were talking about before, which to me is seeming more and more legit just based off of how much stuff they got right in that leak. So it almost seems inevitable to me, but I do think though they're either gonna launch this bitch with the killer app is gonna be a game we haven't seen yet that we're gonna get maybe a June announcement for, or even an announcement with it. I'm thinking Mario or Metroid. That might be one of those two. Like, it's been a while since we had Metroid Prime 4. Come on.
I don't know, but it did take them forever just to do Dread, so I don't know. That's Mario true. Is probably That's a safer true. Bet.
Mario, yeah, because it has been a long time since we've had Odyssey too. It's been 2017.
I mean, they could even go the route of it being Mario Kart 9.
Oh, and that would fucking
And because Mario Kart 8's been out for a while now, and so
it's the Wii U one.
Yeah, it's been out for a fucking decade.
Right.
But also, Mario Kart 8's courses end in the new courses, they end in December. That's the limit, hard limit right there. We only have, I think, 2 or 3 more drops. So, yeah, it kind of aligns, too.
I mean, just whatever the hell they're going to do, just please, for the love of everything holy, put in a solid state drive, Nintendo.
Oh my god, seriously. So after I got used to my fucking Xbox over here, like, we're just downloading shit. Like, it just downloads shit quicker, too. The Switch takes forever. Oh, yeah. No, it's time. As much as I love that OLED screen, it is time.
You think they're going to do another, like, Switch 2 type of thing where it's going to be portable and a console together, or...
I personally think, dude, it's going to be like a... I'm telling, iPhone-style upgrades. It's going to be just like, oh, it's like the Switch whatever moniker, but it's going to be like upgrading from an iPhone 6 to like an iPhone 12, like that kind of gap. I don't know. It's weird. I think that's going to go the mobile route.
I think that they should not do that. It should just be a straight console.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, because like they live and die on it being portable, but like just give us a console, and I don't know, maybe give it a companion thing later down the road. You know what I mean?
That's what I was gonna say. I think they might do a console, but then release a portable version later to where it'll be compatible with that.
Right. I agree. I think they should go that route, because then it's like that, I believe, would make more money for them too in the long run.
Yeah, but it's something Nintendo doesn't really do things normal. It's gonna be like some bullshit.
And that's why they're losing the console wars.
Some bullshit.
So we'll see. But all right, that's all of our stuff for the news and rumors. Now, to wrap up here, what are you guys playing? What are you playing? Huh? One of you guys go.
You go first,
okay,
dude.
Fine. I'll tell you right now. Okay, so based off our conversation last time we were having an episode, and then me having finished ODST, I went back to play Halo Infinite. And it pisses me off so much that Microsoft has this fantastic fucking game with a great game engine, and their promo and delivery and just this whole launch rollout was so fucking bad.
You mean Halo the co-op took a whole fucking year to fucking drop? Is that what you mean, Floyd?
Yeah, dude. This the mechanics for Halo Infinite, the feedback loop, the overworld, it's really good. I think ODST replaying it made me like, oh, okay, I remember liking this, but then coming to Infinite, I was like, oh, but Halo could be like this.
Yeah.
Even just the navigation with like the grapple hook and all the shit, like, it's such a fun game. I had a hard time stopping playing over the weekend. I was like, dude, you gotta like write and like live your life.
Yeah, and that was the thing that I was just so like, talk about missed opportunities, dropping the ball, is the fact that you literally have an overworld style Halo, or I'm sorry, open world style Halo game, and you don't drop co-op on it until everyone's already done with it.
And they're pissed with it. And they're pissed at it. Yeah.
Exactly, right? And I'm like, dude, oh my God, like, once you beat the campaign, you go through it, and you unlock all the upgrades, dude, I could just jump into a fucking Hornet or a Scorpion and just go roam around the Halo ring, you know? And it's like such a missed opportunity, where if that would have launched with the game when it did launch, I think it would have been like, people would have been blown away with it.
I think so too, dude. Anything, even taking the bases and upgrading Master Chief and do the shit I was like, Halo doesn't need that. I'm like, no, you know what, actually that kind of works. Yeah. It actually kind of fucking works, but it would be great with other people. And even I want to go back into the multiplayer. Like, it just plays so good. Like, the Halo feedback loop is fucking fantastic, and I'm just pissed Microsoft has this like gem now that but it took so long to polish this bitch, and nobody cares. So you're pissing me off.
They moved on. It's just not, you know, I mean, back in the 360 days, I mean, we all played Halo 3 either co-op or whatever, but then what, we went through and replayed it again, 4-player co-op, and dude, is there another game that's ever been on that level of a 4-player Halo 3 campaign co-op mission? Seriously. I mean, that shit was awesome, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of shouting.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, and then I've also found this indie game on the Switch called Lunistus, which is like a throwback to the PlayStation N64 platformers, but with like just a little more polished up. It's a fucking awesome game. It's a good palate cleanser between Halo. It's just straight up levels. I just saw on Reddit, and they were like, yeah, this is what we wanted Sonic to be when Sonic went 3D. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's a weird concept. It was $4. So, picked it up. Having a blast. It's one of those short and sweet games that the Switch is just built for. So if you ever get, you know, if you have $4 and, you know, you want to spend it on the coffee, get Lunistus. It's kind of a nice little cleanser between some of the more serious games. And again, fun portable, looks good on the OLED. Just a nice little happy game, you know, so you don't have to shoot things sometimes. Sometimes you just want to jump around and go through loops. And I do wish Sonic 3D games were a little more like it, honestly. So, yeah, that's it. That's all I got. What else you guys got? James?
Well, I just beat Kena Bridge of Spirits, which was very good. It's a shorter game, but it's got a, you know, kind of Zelda feel to it. And it's part of, it was added to the PlayStation Plus extra tier that I pay for that has all these games that I'm just never going to get around to playing all of them. But I beat it, and now I downloaded Ghostwire Tokyo, which I'm only playing to distract myself from for half a day, because Jedi Survivor comes out tomorrow, but by the time this episode comes out, it'll already be out.
Yeah, you're going to be into it.
And that's where my life is going to be, so yeah.
Nice. I don't think I've heard of this one, so.
Okay. All right.
Wait. Kena Bridge of Spirits? Check it out.
Wasn't it an exclusive? Is it a PlayStation?
It's a PlayStation exclusive, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe. It's right. Literally like playing a... I've heard it's literally like playing a DreamWorks type of movie.
Oh, that's the short one, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's very short.
It was very short, and exactly like Alex said, it's basically that. But the story was so good, and the acting, the performances, like, it was a really good, it was a very, very well-written game.
That's what people were saying. It's very polished.
It is. And, yeah, it's basically like playing a DreamWorks movie. And I ran through it, and, again, yeah, I'm just waiting until tomorrow at 9 p.m. when I'll, well, the next day, because I'll be... somewhere special, but anyway.
There you go. Look at you. NDA. You signed the NDA. Anyways.
Yep.
All right. What you got?
I've been on a nostalgia trip / you know, just a blast from the past type of thing. So I've been playing Destiny raids. They released their OG first raid ever in Destiny, Vault of Glass. They re-released it on Destiny 2 about maybe 2 years ago. But, you know, the old hardcore team that it was me, James, the Ramirez brothers, Hector, like, that was our raid team back in the day in 2015 or whatever. So, you know, we've all moved on to different games and all that, which is fine. But, you know, it's funny because now I have Nate, who is old enough to play games and be better at games than me. So, he always... saw or heard me playing with the guys doing raids late at night or whatever, and he wanted to experience that. So, you know, this past 6 months we've been doing that. I showed him, we've been doing Vault of Glass, which is, I feel like there's no other game in the market that can touch Destiny when it comes to that co-op shooter raid type of situation. Because, I mean, James knows, it's something about the whole mechanics of just being able to be more than a shooter. You know, the closest thing that I can think of that would probably be like that would be like a horde mode type of experience, you know, where you get to like you just chill with your friends and survive as long as you can. But raids take that to the next level, and you need to work as a team to do mechanics and whatnot to beat the raid, you know. And then once you beat the raid, which can take an hour, 2 hours, maybe if you're really, really good, 45 minutes, you know, everyone gets a drop, a loot. And, you know, it's there's nothing like experiencing doing that long-ass raid and then everyone's yelling into the mic saying, oh, son of a bitch, I got a reroll of the good thing I already have, or, you know. Carlos's cousin, it was the second time playing, and this fool got one of the best guns in the game. It dropped for him, you know, and it's barely his second time playing it. So, you know, Destiny has that down, and, you know, the raids are just great. But there's also, they released a couple years ago something called Dungeons, which are smaller raids, three-man raids.
It's okay, not these, like, slogs, like longer.
So, but... you know, raids are six-man activities, dungeons are three-man activities. So, you know, we've been running through dungeons, me, Carlos, and my son, Nate. And dungeons just are like, you get that raid experience, but you get it with the smaller fire team, you get it with the smaller size, but you also get that same type of experience. There's mechanics, there's, you know, like, oh, shit, like, why didn't you pick up that orb to throw it in the boss's face and shit. So, it's just fun. I mean, it's honestly... you know, nostalgia for me, because I loved that back in 2014, 2015 with the guys, and now doing that with my son and Carlos, who's all the way in Texas. You know, he's really all about it now too. He's pretty much constantly asking me when we can do another dungeon and all that. So okay. That's what I've been on. And then the other part of that nostalgia trip is the remake of Advance Wars.
Oh, yeah.
1 and 2. So I've been playing that on the Switch. Great fucking remake. I really hope that Nintendo does this shit more often, man, because this thing is just awesome. I didn't mind paying $50 for it. You know?
Oh, I know, with the voucher?
Yeah. I would have paid $60, you know, the graphics are updated, the gameplay's still there. There's a little bit of what's it called? Voice acting, but it's not overly annoying, you know, it's anime, mm-hmm. whatever you expect. But yeah, it's just a cool ass package. I love it. I've been playing it on my break at work.
Yeah, dude, it's a portable game initially, so, you know, it's back to being a portable game.
Yeah, just with updated graphics, the music, the sound effects, it's just very, very, you know, takes me back to playing on my Game Boy SP and all that, so.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's on the Switch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I was never a turn-based strategy fan, except Advance Wars. I don't know why, but they always got me.
Yeah, it's weird that, you know, I'm not about that whole, like, oh, sit around and wait till you get hit, but.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It's just something about the rock, paper, scissors aspect of Advance Wars that does it for me.
Yeah, the DS ones were good, too. I remember those ones were really good.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
That's also my win of the month.
Oh, it is.
I'm just going to roll it in there, dude.
Roll it in.
Yeah, but that's my win of the month just because, like I said, you know, if Nintendo can remake their old games like this, I don't think people would have an issue paying money for it. So
yeah. Give us more shit from the GBA GameCube era. Those were some fucking amazing games back in there. Yep. So my gaming win of the month is actually all these fucking spring game sales. So I don't know if Sony's done it, but I know Microsoft and Nintendo just, at least Nintendo's in the middle of it, has done these huge spring game sales for April. And I don't know, like, there's so much on sale, so much indie shit that I like that I can spend, as you know, money on a burger, and for that same amount of money for that one meal, I get hours and hours and hours of entertainment from a piece of software that people online discuss, say it's good. Like, Luministus came from that, but also I got Demon Turf, which is a great platformer. A bunch of other games that, you know, for literally just nothing. Spring sales are one of my favorite things, second only to the October fall sales, which usually happen again at the end of the year. But yeah, all these companies are doing fantastically with that. So that's my win for the month, is whatever sales we get for spring. How about you, James? What's your win?
I haven't played it yet, but it's probably going to be Jedi Survivor. let's be real here. I mean, the early reviews are coming out, and there's a lot of praise being heaped at it.
Yeah.
And it's already been announced, so I guess, yeah, so it's been announced that instead of, like, you know, spoiler for people, you're going to start with all the powers you had at the end of Jedi Fallen Order, which I love, and yeah, I'm just going to keep heaping praise to this game I haven't played yet, because I know it's going to be good.
Now, the reviews are selling it like it's Arkham City to the Arkham Asylum. Like,
yeah,
that's the comparison that's I'm seeing there.
That's what I just literally read before we started recording, so I'm fine with that.
Like, yeah,
just give me the same game, but like upgrade it just slightly, and give me a story like the first one, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, we'll find out in our next episode James' exact reception, but I don't think it's gonna be that different.
No, it's not. I'm probably gonna just be like, oh my god, it's so much better than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Now we're off to end it with the fails here. So, fail of the month so far. You guys already heard me rant about it. I'm going to keep it very brief. Yeah, Xbox and Microsoft, man. Again, Halo Infinite taught me this past 2 weeks that, hey, they still got some juice in there. It's just they keep fucking up all the launches. I think this is going to happen with Redfall. I think Redfall is going to launch like shit. And a year later, Redfall is going to somehow be really good. And nobody's going to care. Like, it's going to be the same pattern of Microsoft not knowing what they're doing. But to add a little bit of news to that, apparently Microsoft, the company itself, the broader company, is really pissed at the Xbox division for lacking these third-party games and kind of dropping the ball. That 30% really hit them hard, but they did kind of deserve it. So, sorry, Xbox. I've had an Xbox for a long, long, since the OG back in the day. I'm not getting rid of my Series S, but goddamn, you were making me, ooh. Not happy gay. Anyways, yeah. James, what's your fail?
Alex unnecessarily hating on Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh my god.
I agree. Enough said.
I'll keep it short and simple. You know, every time something comes out and we get excited, he's like, here we go. So you know what? You're gonna play it. You're gonna fucking love it. Just like we are. So, you know.
You know what? Remember this when your fucking Switch gets blown up because it's lagging at 30 to fucking 25 FPS. Dude, remember this.
That's fine, because I almost threw my Switch out the window when I played Cuphead, so it's okay.
Oh, Jesus. I still can't.
I can't. Honestly, I don't really have a gaming fail of the month right now. I just kind of been, you know, I've been enjoying, you know, the time between now and when Jedi Survivor comes out. I keep saying it, but I don't care, because... You know, we've been talking about this for a while, Alex. You know, we're very excited. I can't wait. I guess maybe one of the fails would be that the rumored file is like 150 gigs for Jedi Survivor. No, I was going to say, so that's a pretty big fail, but I also have an expanded hard drive, so I don't care anymore.
Well, I was going to say, to tie into that a little bit, is the fact that even if you buy the disc... they're going to make you download a large portion of the game, which to me is like, oof. I really hope that doesn't become a thing, because that's just opening up a whole nother can of worms about us not owning our games, quote unquote, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, but, you know, preload is a thing and you can preload it right now. So I'm just saying.
Yeah. Just saying. So my fail ties into the absurd headline, but
Read the headline.
Let me first say.
Nah, just say it's gaming fail. Yeah.
Yeah. The fail is Nintendo over here going after emulators and hackers who are doing what people want Nintendo to do, but Nintendo's too much of a fucking up their own ass company to do it. Okay. We've said it numerous times. That they had gold, they had a gold mine with the Wii and the Wii U Virtual Console to where I can buy my game and have it. But once they launched the fucking Wii U and they actually had that account system to where you can re-download them, they're like, yeah, we're not going to put all the Wii games back on there. So, yeah, that ties into the headline because, oof, man, I got some things to say about that, Flynn, but go ahead, you read it.
Oh, okay. Thank you for the permission there. Hacker will be paying Nintendo 1/3 of his paycheck for the rest of his life. That's right. Gary Bowser, very apt name.
Yeah. Hold on. Can we just pause for this guy's name?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it's Gary Bowser, yeah.
Gary Bowser.
Like, Nintendo is just going after... their own villains.
They're making an example of this motherfucker. Yeah. What, Doug Bowser probably signed off. He's like, I know that piece of shit. That's my cousin. Fuck that guy. Yeah, right. My Gary Bowser, a man sentenced in 2021 to 40 months in prison and a $14.5 million fine for his role in Nintendo hacking group Team Executor, whatever, has been...
Isn't that a Pokemon?
Yeah, that's spelled the same. It's with eggs. Has just been released from jail. But it's possible the massive amount of money he now owes in restitution may impact the entire rest of his life and livelihood. Nintendo's latest Indie World showcase just wrapped up, providing release dates for some long-delayed games, along with a handful of surprise releases and indie versions of the company's popular Nintendo Direct format. Oh, wait, that's a much longer article.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, he's just copy and pasting.
He's copy and pasting. Jesus.
Just get to the meat of it. The fact that this hacker needs to pay Nintendo just because he got caught giving, what, emulators or ROMs or what?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a little dumb. Nintendo lawyers are fucking insane. They're it's madness. I endorse it.
I mean, $14.5 million fine.
That's a lot.
That is absurd.
The man don't deserve it. He just don't deserve it. I'm sorry. It's okay.
Here's the thing, dude. I don't want to. We can go another hour about this, but I'm not gonna get into it. I just want you to know that Nintendo is just like. Going after this guy is making people just get so upset, and they're like, you know what? fuck you for taking off. Let's go down the list here. They took off the Wii Shop, right? So now you can't download any type of game that you bought on
the Wii. I thought you were trying to save an hour. Right? Oh,
no, that's right. And then the Wii U Shop, and then now the 3DS Shop, right? What do you think they're going to do in about 5 years? Guess what? They're going to take the Switch Shop offline. So, oh,
actually, that brings me to a new story that I forgot to put on here. No, there was a listing that came up on LinkedIn that actually Nintendo is looking... I saw this on Gaming Leaks and Rumors on Reddit. Nintendo is looking for somebody who is able to port legacy content to a team. So I think they might be trying to turn New Leaf, but I only think that because the Switch is so big and the library is so vast... that if they shat on people the same way they traditionally been, this would be a lot more mad people than there ever was before.
Gee, so, maybe they should fucking hire someone named Gary Bowser who knows about this instead of fining him for the rest of his life.
Nah, they got the money out of him. They're fine.
Oh, man, that's just crazy is the fact that, you know, a multi-million dollar company is like, you leaked our fucking, you know, our... gaming on the internet. Now you gotta pay us. It's like, come on, dude.
Yeah, that's
like,
the poly fuck you pay me right there. If, for sure.
If they didn't make it so fucking hard to find their games and play their old games, this would not be an issue.
Oh, but, no, definitely not. Definitely not. But okay, there's it. We just take that heat into the arena after this. It's fine. Take it in there, dude. Alright,
so I'm fine with everything Nintendo does as long as they give me 1,000-year door.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, you can find him for 50% of his fucking paycheck. He gave me that goddamn 1,000-year door, dude.
Anyway. James is going to be at the trial for that guy, and he's going to be like, yeah.
I'm going to be in the back playing 1,000-year door on my Switch going, yep, they got it right.
Throw the book at that piece of shit.
This is a great game. Fuck that guy.
All right. Well, that's the NPC podcast, ladies and gentlemen. So, you can find us again on Instagram, npc.gaming.pod. We release every 2 weeks on Monday. We'll be back again in 2 weeks. James is going to obviously tell us about, you know, how he feels about the new Star Wars game. Mm-hmm. And who knows? We'll still find some Breath of the Wild shit to talk shit on. So we'll find a way. Anyways, so thank you for listening and signing out here. We will see you later.
Bye-bye.
Later.